Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 4 through 12, and we're going to focus on verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would stand for the reading of the word. And we're going to call today's message, Fan into Flame, the Gift of God. Fan into Flame, the Gift of God. More than anything, this is what we need right now. This church, any person, during these insane and unsure times, we have a very well-known and powerful and ultimate God. Yes. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, I'll start with verse 4. Hear His word and let it sink into your hearts and be ministered to today. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought to life immortality through the gospel, which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Father, in your mercy, grace, and sovereign providence, you have entrusted me to preach your word to these and other peoples this day and going forth. Father, I know this is a sacred desk and this is a sacred call. But as children of God, we all walk a separated, sacred life. And may your holy flame douse those fears that we have, that we might burn brightly for you in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God, you Father. Amen. May be seated. Life can be a scary proposition. The world is a scary place. There's a lot of wonder, but there's also a lot of wickedness out there and all around. And it's all the time these days right there in your face. If not locally, well then, in the media. There's a never-ending stream of stories that give us the picture that reveal the unraveling of society. What were once safe spaces are now war zones. People who were once depended upon now must be defended against. The pillars of community are becoming unglued and people are becoming unhinged. What used to be isolated instances of sudden violence now are becoming daily realities. Add to all that the regular pressures and pains and problems of growing up or growing old and watching the strains and strivings and struggles and sufferings of others in your own little world. It's enough to make even the most fearless among us want to hide out away from the increasing insanity of this age. So in light of that, here's my question to you. How does God lead His people into such an insane and unsure world? You know you can't just hide out from the world, not for any length of time. Not if you're going to be a functioning member of society. Not if you're going to be a faithful witness for Christ. Or a leader of God's people. Not if you're going to be a reliable rock for your own family. Or even a steadfast steward of your own life. But in the midst of your scary situation, how can you overcome fear? How can you find the strength, the support, and the sense to deal with all of it? This is what we are going to consider today. And this is what the Apostle Paul was addressing with his young disciple here, Timothy. And what he taught Timothy is what I want to teach you and what you will be able to teach others. Well, as a pastor, I have to deal with all sorts of complex and various and people and situations multiplied over. There's always the ups and downs and all arounds, as you've heard me say many times. There's successes and then failures. Triumphs and trauma. Deliverance and disorientation. Seasons of repentance and seasons of rebellion. Someone says, I love you, while someone else says, I hate you. On one side you hear affirmation, and on the other side you hear accusation. Sometimes you get nothing but the bad, and that's all at once. There's times when you just don't know what to do. Times you can't really help. And the most certain thing about it all is there's always going to be uncertainty. It can be very difficult to deal with, and I don't always get it right. That's my situation. But you know what? The truth is, no matter who you are, no matter how strong you think you are, there is going to come a time when your strength will not be able to get you through and not be able to help other people either. Don't fool yourself. That's life, and you can count on it. I mean, I want you to be strong, but there's things that overwhelm you don't have the strength for, and other people that you won't know what to do for. What do you do then? And people often talk to me, and they know a little bit about my life and all of that, and they say, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I hear that every week. Or they ask me, how do you do it? I'm sure Timothy asked Paul this same question. That's what he was asking him. Paul, how do you do it? I'm here in Ephesus all by myself. You've left me. How am I going to do this? You've told me to do this, do this, do this, do this. How am I going to do this? And really, he was asking a deeper question than that. He was really saying, Paul, I'm not you. So how do I do it? The answer Paul gave Timothy is the same answer I'm going to give to you. It's the same for any Christian. It's how you find the strength, the support, and the sense you need to deal with all of it. It's the biblical way of facing your fears. Now, when you think about what Paul said to Timothy in verse 7, I mean, he's reprimanding him. God did not give you a spirit, us, but he means everybody, Christians, did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, of power, love, and self-control. You realize that Timothy, yes, great Timothy, who Paul said in the book of Philippians, no one follows me like Timothy follows me. He was supporting him. It was his good, but he was still saying Timothy was gripped by a spirit of fear. In fact, it was so bad, he was in tears about it. Did you see that in verse 4? I am reminded, as I remember your tears. He was in such fear that he was crying about it. That may be you today. You think about Timothy, you think about all this power he had, and he's one of these guys, he's in the Bible. So why? Well, if you were Timothy, it would have been easy to feel overwhelmed, and that might be you today, so please listen up. When you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you see he had a lot to do. Lots of instruction to give, lots of things to correct, lots of things to command, lots of things to watch out and be careful for. And there was a lot of opposition to his ministry and to his message. From outside the church and inside the church. From deacons as well as demons. And, you know, we read about his mother and grandmother. Perhaps they had died. One or both of them had died. Perhaps older people were disrespecting him. Remember he said in 1 Timothy 4:12, no one disrespect you for your youth. But maybe that was happening. That's probably what was happening. I think we get the indication there. And I'm sure he felt very alone. Because Paul, the great apostle Paul, his mentor, wasn't with him. And when you think about the apostle Paul, you think about all the many miracles he did and how incredible things he saw. And there was tremendous fruit from his ministry, Timothy being some of that. The church at Ephesus being some of that. However, Paul was in and out of prison. Did you realize that? And he had all sorts of trouble everywhere he went. He was writing this letter from prison. It didn't ever go very smoothly for him. People were doubting his apostleship all over the place. And word got around that he was in prison again and that he was about to be martyred. He was about to be killed for his faith. So how could Timothy preach to others when his mentor wasn't even doing too well?
You can see that he was probably even ashamed about that when we read in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me of his prisoner. Because he's probably what he was doing. He goes, how can I tell them, you know, follow me, follow this guy. This guy's in prison. This guy's always in trouble. We're not going to do that. Right? So he is all on his own, like a salesman with a product no one wants. Right? Tough. Beginning part is tough. So Paul reminds Timothy that this is going to be looking at the wrong standard if you think that way. And he points to the true godly focus and what spiritual success really is. He says, don't be ashamed about it, but instead proclaim it. Christians, what does he say in 2 Timothy 3:12? All that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Christians will suffer persecution. But proclaiming the righteousness and love of God when other people think you're down in the dumps, that points out the true power of God. That's what points out the true power of God. You might have all kinds of reasons. Timothy had all kinds of reasons. But that's no time to shrink back. That's the time to let the power of the Holy Spirit well up in you. That's what he was saying. Displaying the power despite the prison actually proves the point rather than disproving the point. Don't get stuck there. Don't focus on that. Move forward with me. No man is as free as the man who is free from the world despite the chains of the world. Now, people try and say that God isn't with you if you aren't successful according to worldly standards. Other people tried to do that to Paul. Timothy knew what it was like. The so-called super apostles in 2 Corinthians. They said since Paul didn't have an easy life, that means his theology was wrong. Right? He was wrong. They said they had the better way. Do it like us, and you'll get the Cadillac, and you'll get the babe, and you'll get all this, and you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise and all that. And Paul said, they're fools. Those false teachers didn't know what they were talking about. And people were trying to use that tactic with Timothy. And people try the very same thing today. If this was the right kind of ministry, if you were the right sort of minister, you and all your people would be healthy, wealthy, and popular like us. But Paul answered that sort of foolishness once and for all in 2 Corinthians 5:12. Listen to what he said. He says, we're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what's in the heart. I don't care about your station in life. I care about your station in Christ. Now, maybe you have fears because of what you think others are going to think because of what they see around you and about you or where you are right now. But as Paul told Timothy, God is telling you, don't just focus on those outward matters as if those are the most important matters. No, the most important thing is that God is for you and God is with you. Instead of brooding over the situation, Paul said to stir yourself up, to fan into flame the gift of God. Yes. If you're on fire, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to try to douse your flame. But you can keep it burning and you don't ever have to burn out. You don't ever have to burn out. My friends, you don't ever have to burn out. You can keep that fire burning. So what was Timothy's real problem? That was all just prelude to what his prescription is. What was Timothy's real problem? Well, you know, he had all these people against him and the demons and the deacons and this, that, and the other thing. He was young. People didn't respect him. He was all by himself. Paul was in prison. He didn't know what to do. All these things, all these different types of situations. What was our problem? What is your problem? Paul was saying it wasn't those other problems. You can insert yourself in there. Everyone has problems. But it isn't those other problems that are the real problem. It's what you aren't doing that is the real problem. And this is the problem. Ears on? You fail to stir yourself up. You fail to fan into flame the gift of God. It's a failure to think. A failure to realize what God has given you by giving you his Holy Spirit. You let the flame die down. And that's what it seems like. There isn't enough fire to stay with it. There's not enough fire to light the way or enough to keep you warm. So what you do, you look around, see what's going on around you, see what's coming near you, think about what's ahead of you, and you're in the grip of those things and you give way to fear. And you don't remind yourself of who you are in Christ. And you feel weak and lonely and lost. Timothy was in this place. And he was Timothy. He was in tears about it. Think about that. And even strong Christians can fall into that place. I'm not trying to beat you up at all. I'm trying to stir you up.
Even strong Christians can fall into that place. They can feel that fear if they don't stay stirred up. You're overwhelmed, and you go down into that place where fear can feel like the most real thing. If you want to deal with your fears, you've got to get and keep that fire burning. So now the question is this. How's that done? How do you do that? How do you fan into flame the gift of God? Well, Paul told Timothy, you start by reminding yourself of certain things. And that's what you need to do. First, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, that wasn't first. This is first. First, you got to stop looking at all you do as if you are an ordinary person. I've got to overcome alcoholism as an ordinary person. I've got to overcome, you know, my fear of this, my fear of that. When this happens, I'm reading about this in the news, this, that, and the other thing. You've got to stop looking at that like you're an ordinary person. You're not an ordinary person. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. You have the Spirit of God. There may be a lot to do in front of you, but God is behind you. And God's in front of you. And whatever situation you're in, God's in it too, because God's in you. You may be facing a lot of trouble, but that trouble has to face God. Who should really be fearing? Fear needs to fear. That trouble needs to fear. You've got to face that trouble. Okay, I've got to face, I'm 5'2" and over 50 years old and everything like that. Okay, I've got to face Peter, and he's 6'3 and 220 and full of muscle. But Peter's got to face God, and he's bigger than the universe. Sorry, Peter. You're supposed to go, amen. But you get that. We forget that. We're going into this battle thing. It's me against this. No, it's this against God. We forget who we are. That's what he's saying. He goes, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. But this isn't just a pep rally. Keep with me. But you got to stop looking at things as if you're an ordinary person. Stop facing your trouble as if you are just who you used to be. Start facing the trouble like you live before the face of God. This passage is proof that when it comes to fear, you can be a child of God but fail to live as a child of God. What should you do when life comes crashing down on you? Preach yourself on fire! That doesn't mean that troubles won't come. Doesn't mean you're supposed to live your life seeking danger, supposed to be stupid, foolhardy. It means that when you find yourself faced with fear, you live by faith.
Yes.
You have a gift, he says, a gift that can set you on fire. You can douse the flames of fear with the flame of God.
Amen.
I want you to understand, this was more than Paul just telling Timothy to have his own little pep rally every morning. This isn't just a general call to live by faith. It's more than that. Paul wanted Timothy to know, and God wants you to know, specifically what he has given you to overcome fear in your life and how to activate that. Now are you interested? Now the gift itself, himself, is the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. The fan and the flame, the gift of God. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. All right? The Holy Spirit. And Paul's reminding Timothy about certain attributes that the Holy Spirit develops in you as the antidote to fear in your life. He says, you have fear. You're crying about it. I know there's all these things, but let me tell you something. You've been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control, or I'm going to suggest something else to you in a moment. Again, when you're facing fear, when it wants to creep up to your door and knock on, look, you want to peek out the blinds, right? This is what you need to do in preaching to yourself. You stir yourself up in the knowledge of what the Holy Spirit means for you. That's how you fan into flame the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is a fire, and he wants to set you on fire with himself. Wow, we're dead. The Holy Spirit is a fire, and he wants to light you on fire with himself. If the Holy Ghost came and you were on fire, you're not going to be afraid of nothing. Or anything. Now, do you get what I'm saying? People get afraid of nothing. But you can't just be, I'm a man about it. You just need a man. No, he's not saying that. There is going to come a time in your life when your gun and your training and your B.A. Baracus is not going to be able to handle it. Right? And God's going to make sure, I hope so that you depend on him. Learn.
Why do you think the giants were in the land? Because God wanted to prove himself. What do we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4? The jars of clay, the treasure in jars of clay, so the power can be proved that it's of God and not us. It's not just something we can handle because we have more money, or we have more power, we have more charisma, we have more position, we have more skill, or, you know, whatever. No, it's got to come from God, and there's a way, and that's what he's talking to Timothy about. He goes, Timothy, you don't have to be me, the Apostle Paul. You just be Timothy with the Holy Spirit resident in you. You just need to fan into flame the gift of God. So, what does the Holy Spirit mean to you in terms of this, in terms of overcoming fear in your life? Paul mentions three things. You see them very plainly there in verse 7. These three things are what you need to focus on when fear tries to get you to focus on it. Hear me? You focus on these things instead of focusing on the fear thing. The Holy Spirit, God in you, can help you with the strength, the support, and the sense to overcome the fear in your life. Fear says you can't. Faith says you can. Yes. Now, the first thing Paul mentions is power. You've been given a spirit, not a spirit of fear. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power. Fear's lying to you. You know, fear, what it does is it talks to your old self. Your self says, I can't get it done. I'm too weak. Fear says, I can get it done. I'm going to deny myself and follow the Holy Spirit. So how does that look? You're in the middle of some trouble. You see trouble coming around you. You see trouble coming near you. You see trouble ahead of you. And fear is right there with it. And fear says, I don't have the strength, or I doubt my strength to do this, to deal with this. But the Spirit of God put the spirit of power in you, not a spirit of fear. He says to you that, you know what? You may not have the strength to do this, but I do. And I'll strengthen you. Tell yourself, I have the power that is stronger than fear. Exactly, a fellow elder. Let's say it. I have the power that is stronger than fear. Lord Jesus, I know I can because of who you are and what you're doing in me. Now, I understand tender souls. I'm actually one of them. And you might hear all this and think to yourself, oh no, it's all on me. Oh, if I don't do this the right way, God's going to abandon me. He's going to stop using me. He's never going to visit me with power. What if my fire's already died out? Don't fall into that trap, because it isn't true. You'll get better at this. You don't have to get it all right every time, exactly this, that, and the other thing. That's what the devil will tell you. But that's not what you have to do to experience God's power. You don't have to fear, and you can know that for sure. Because the next thing that Paul mentions is love. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of love. So you don't think anyone can help you. No one understands, or if they did understand, they wouldn't help me. They'd probably hurt me. They'd leave me for sure. You feel all alone in your trouble. And there is fear, right there, telling you a lie. Fear says, I don't have the support I need. I'm lonely. But the Spirit of God put the spirit of love in you, not a spirit of fear. He says that even if people may not be there for you, and they may not, folks, or they may not know what to do for you, and they may not, he says, I'm there for you, and I know just what to do. Martin Luther said, God doesn't love us because of our worth. We are of worth because God loves us. God loves me not because of how good I am. God loves me because of how good he is. If I could put it in today's English. Right? 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. You can say it and know it. I have the love that casts out fear. Say it. I have the love that casts out fear. God still loves you even when you fail. I'm just not getting all this. I just don't know. God loves you anyway. Now, this isn't just some exercise in positive affirmation. This is the gift of God. Paul had times when he felt like everybody abandoned him. He said so. But he knew that God would never abandon him. And Jesus says the same thing to you, Christian. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that's Hebrews 13:5. But you know what Hebrews 13:6 says? we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. You've been given a spirit of power, and you've been given a spirit of love. You don't have to fear. You've been given the gift that overcomes fear. Think about it. You have the strength you need, and you have the support you need. And finally, Paul says, you have the sense you need. Now, in our ESV here, it says power, love, and self-control. Your King James Version will say power, love, and a sound mind. And those are good descriptions of what Paul was talking about. You haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of self-control and a sound mind. But I want to suggest something more to you that fits with the context of Timothy's troubles and in its common first century Greek usage. Timothy was worried about what to say in all these potentially tense and fearful situations. That was the context. That was what was going on. He was a teacher. And he's saying, how am I going to teach these people that know more than me? How am I going to teach these people that are older than me? How am I going to teach these people that have been Christians longer than me? How am I going to teach these people that don't even know God? How am I going to do this when you're in jail? How am I going to do this when I don't know what to do? See, Paul told him that he'd been given a spirit of prudence, of being able to teach with words fit for each occasion. Now, I've said this before, and it may sound a little bit simplistic, but knowledge is what to do, wisdom is how to do it, and prudence is when to do it. I know I've told you that. Right? Prudence is the timing of the thing. Prudence is like a subset of wisdom that's connected with, and concerned with actions. How am I going to do this? When am I going to do this? I know I've got to have this difficult situation. What am I going to say? When am I going to say it? How am I going to say it? Paul told Timothy, you have the Spirit here. You can do this. You may not be as schooled, you may not be as skilled, you may not be as stirred up in one sense, but you can stir that gift up and God can help you know what to say, how to say, when to say it. Again, Timothy was fearful because he had to deal with so many difficult situations involving so many different types of people. What was he going to say? How was he going to say it? When was he going to say it? And Paul told Timothy he didn't have to fear. The Holy Spirit was working in him to teach people how to walk in faithful obedience. This isn't just having the courage to speak up. This is about having the sense to know how and when to speak up. And he expounds on that in chapter 2, verses 23 through 26. Paul tells Timothy how to speak the truth in love to those who aren't Christians. And you can turn there and read that, but we won't right now. The point is that many Christians have a fear of speaking to people about Jesus, especially to someone who you think is smarter than you or is in a higher station, socially better than you, better looking than you, whatever you want to do to make you feel like you can't talk to them about Jesus. They know religion better. They're going to talk about Mithra and Gilgamesh and stuff I don't even know about or whatever. You think, oh, I can't, you know. Yeah, you can. Keep yourself stirred up. You'll be happy to talk to people about Jesus no matter what they say back to you. That's what he was telling Timothy. He goes, you're going to suffer persecution anyway. Just get out there and do it, baby. Stay stirred up. So you teach the Bible study and all these people this, that, and the other thing. Say, don't let them respect. Say, you do that afterwards. We'll talk afterwards. I'm teaching right now. Again, fear says you don't know how to act. You don't know when to act. But the Holy Spirit says, I do. We're relying on, this isn't you. This is him. You say, how, what do you mean the Holy Spirit working through you? I'm telling you how. See, fear makes you feel like you won't be able to hold it all together. I've had people tell me that very, very recently. But you've been given the spirit of self-control. Fear makes you feel like you're going to lose your mind. I felt that way. But you've been given a sound mind. Fear makes you feel like you won't be able to help others see God or live for God. But you've been given the spirit to teach prudence. Fear says you'll never do it right. You're just lost. But you can say, I have the spiritual sense that transcends fear. I have the spiritual sense that transcends fear. I have the spiritual sense that transcends fear. You ain't got to go back to that other stuff. I don't know how I'm going to do it. He knows. Just keep stirred up. You got to keep telling yourself every morning. Say, I have this. God is in me. This is going. You need to be reading. You need to be, I mean, come on. You got to keep yourself stirred up. Now, you know what? Let me put it this way. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. The only way you can do that is if you evangelize yourself. You got to be full of the evangel, euangelia, you know, Jesus Christ, the gospel. You've got to have it in you. Then you want to share it. You get so much of it in you, it spills out.
Right? Right? Somebody, right? Yes. Yes. You got to continually evangelize yourself. Convince yourself. Convict yourself. Confess Christ. That's how you can face fear and overcome it. You have the power that is stronger than fear. You have the love that casts out fear. You have the spiritual sense that transcends fear. You can do it because He can do it. In Christ, you have the strength, the support, and the sense to live faithfully in whatever situation you find yourself in. You're not going to do it all perfect, this, that, and the other thing. That's when the Spirit of love comes. Right? I've got the power. I still fell down and all that. The Spirit of love is still there. Well, you know, I kind of lost it here. The Spirit of self-control is still there. The Spirit of love is still there. That's why the love is in the middle. It's holding those things together. But haven't you ever had it happen when you didn't know how it was going to happen, and then it happened anyway, and God was there helping you do it? You were in a situation you think, this is just really above my pay grade, above my head. I'm kind of swimming in a little bit deeper water than I'm used to. And bang, the Spirit of God was there. Stir yourself up. Remember that. If it hasn't happened to you, it will. Stir yourself up. And you think, I'm all alone. I can't do this. No one can help me. I know there's people all around me, but I don't feel like I have the support I need. And He's right there. And we can go much further than this, but today I just wanted to get you to start stirring yourself up. The flame of the God, the Holy Spirit, can douse the flames of fear. I'm not saying you just run out and go do this, that, and the other thing. I'm saying when you get faced with fear and it's right there on you, whatever your little world is, you don't act like you're this ordinary person. You don't get, you know, superheroish. It's God that's the hero, not you. But you say, God, here I am. Here's Goliath. I've got 5 stones. You've been there for me before with a bear and a lion. I can do this because you're doing this. And if I die, I know you still love me. I have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and the devil can't touch. I'm not going to be afraid of something that can kill my body. What can man do? That's what he says in Hebrews 13:6. That's the end of the verse. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So they make fun of you, Timothy. They make fun of me. So they throw you in prison. They threw me in prison. So they put you on a cross. They put our Lord on the cross. And He rose again, and so will you. Stir yourself up. Stay stirred up. Call somebody. Sing something. Pray something. Teach yourself something. Stay stirred up. Stay around those people that want to stir you up, and you want to stay stirred up. Don't be around the people that just want to put you down, or if not, you light them on fire. Yes. I'm going to go into that burning building. I'm going to put that building on fire. Everybody's down in the dumps. We need someone to light the torch. Again, you can face your fear and overcome it. You have the power that's stronger than fear. You have the love that casts out fear. You have the spiritual sense that transcends fear. You have the strength, the support, and the sense to live faithfully in every situation, or whatever situation you find yourself in. You've been given the gift of God. That's what he said. He goes, yeah, I know you got problems. I got problems too. You've got the gift of God. You're a real Christian. I remember your mom. I remember your grandmother. I know it's in you. Let me tell you, this thing is working in me. Don't be ashamed of it. Proclaim it. Woo, I'm in prison for Jesus. He's making me deal with depression. He's making me deal with problems. He's making me deal with this. He's making me deal with ongoing pain. And I'm just afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. No! I live by faith, not by sight. That fear is telling me, you can't, you don't, you won't. But faith says, I can, I will, and I am.
That's right.
You've been given the gift of God. Now fan it into flame, and you will overcome your fear.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, light us on fire, that people might see your glory. That no matter what situation we find ourselves in, and Timothy wasn't in the most advantageous or the most beautiful of situations, but he was in a situation where people could mock and laugh and scorn. He could feel empty and alone and not enough, and you lit him on fire, just like you lit the Apostle Paul on fire, like our Lord Jesus was on fire. Lord, ask you, Holy Spirit, that Jesus may be known and seen in us, through us, to us. Father God, light us on fire. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.